When TV News wasn't dutifully trying to jazz up the Republican convention this week, it was striving to dramatize something already pretty dramatic, Hurricane Isaac, what Jon Stewart on Wednesday night called
hurricane porn, from your standard guy outside in the rain to women in rain burka standing under the gutter of Damocles to guy about to be sucked out to the sea.
But it's not just hurricanes that TV news finds visually irresistible. It's also been a devastating year for wildfires.
An aggressive, almost continuous aerial assault on the now more than 5,000-acre fire.
Tonight there is a battle underway. Brave men and women facing a test of will, courage, and endurance. 17 wildfires.
Officials credit the aerial attack with keeping the fire from spreading.
The Air Force was dropping retardant on this fire on that northern flank all day today, hoping to stop what you're seeing unfold right now.
According to the National Interagency Fire Center, which tracks wildfires across the U.S., 2012 again saw an increase in the average number of acres burned. For residents in western states, that means the loss of homes and businesses. For the rest of us, it means watching gripping images of firefighters battling the blaze on a massive scale. Back in 2009, while wildfires burned in Los Angeles, we spoke with L.A. Times then-media reporter James Rainey about how the wildfires were unfolding for him in his backyard and on his TV screen.
They're really quite majestic, and if you've ever lived through these wildfires, and I've lived through quite a few of them, there's a feeling of a kind of powerlessness that comes over people. And I think the sight of one of these, and in fact, in this fire, we had even a 747 come in and do a couple of spectacular drops of retardant. It's really quite a awe-inspiring thing to see, because these pilots are very skilled too, and they'll swoop in much lower than you want to see a plane that big normally, and they'll, you know, uncork maybe 20,000 gallons of this bright red retardant. It's extremely telegenic.
So are you saying then that it helps relieve that feeling of powerlessness, that it's like, you know, your classic deus ex machina?
It absolutely does. And this is not to say that there's no utility in it at all. I think all the fire professionals would agree there is a time and place for the retardant. And then there are also water drops, which can be quite effective in spots. But what happens in each one of these fires is, as the anxiety level goes up, people start to call their local city councilman or congressperson, and inevitably the one thing that they know to ask for, because they've seen it in every other fire, is an airplane. There have been constant questions over the last few days on LA TV and radio. Where's the Super Scooper?
And what is that?
The Super Scooper is a prop plane that comes down every fire season, and it's a brilliant yellow bird, and it can not only drop a pretty large quantity of water, it can scoop water up as it keeps moving. So it can make a lot of cycles to the closest lake or ocean.
Now, in your column, you call the Super Scooper the erstwhile glitter girl of the fire squadron, and you say that firefighters have a name for the plane drops, that they call them CNN drops.
CNN drops, yes, because what happens is these politicians get those phone calls, and they may know themselves that the water drops, the retardant drops, are only a part of the solution, but they also know that they're getting dozens and maybe hundreds of phone calls. And the easiest thing for someone in political office to do, of course, is to cave in.
Along with wasting resources, are there any cases where fires took longer to put out because the focus was diverted to these some firefighters call political air shows?
One of the things the fire officials told me is, look, the Super Scooper is specifically to drop water, not to drop retardant. And we've just dropped retardant in some of these areas, which doesn't actually put out the fire, but it slows it down, gives the fire crews more time to build these fire lines. They said if we go up and dump water in some of those areas, we're potentially just washing away the retardant that we just dumped there. So we really want to be careful. We don't care that people are upset that they're not seeing the Super Scooper up in the air. We'll put it in where it can be most effective. It was easier in most cases for helicopters to get in and out of there and dump.
So do you think if the reality of using these planes was reported better, that the pressure on politicians to use them would ease up?
Yes. I mean, if they came on every time and reminded you, boy, that looks beautiful, but it might not make nearly as much difference as the 2,000 guys back up in the foothills with their bulldozers and their axes. I think, yes, it would make a difference.
You wrote this week that the coverage was reminiscent of what you called the skewed perspective that we get at the start of a Middle Eastern war.
Yeah, I do think that there is a hope and sort of a dream that we can solve all these problems through technology. And so in those wars, whether it was the first Gulf War or the Iraq War, we'd see those beautiful Pentagon briefings and the bomb would go right down the chimney and eliminate the communication center. Well, we all know in the aftermath that not all the bombs were quite that smart. There always is collateral damage, and that takes on a very human form if you're on the ground with the foot soldiers. And the same way in a fire, these beautiful air shots are one thing, but I think you'd have quite a different perspective of the fire as a reporter if you were down on the ground with these guys in 105-degree heat carrying 70 pounds of equipment traipsing through the chaparral here in California.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
In 2009, James Rainey wrote the On the Media column for the LA Times. He's now a political reporter.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.